One of the several splendors of that book by Elizabeth Johnson, The Quest for the Living God, among many splendors, is what is kind of implicit. She takes about 8 or 9 different approaches to try to talk about God, from nature, from social issues, personal issues. And what she is saying implicitly is that no single approach to God exhausts who God is. I've been reminded of that with this famous line, "My ways are not your ways and my thoughts are not your thoughts." Usually, I think when I say that, it's out of frustration rather than any kind of assertiveness. That is, God didn't live up to my expectations, so we got problems. And well, who can tell? But no, the heart of religion is precisely to know what Thomas Aquinas, who wrote prodigious amounts about God, said in his treatise on truth: we know more about what God is not than what God is. Interesting resonance with the first line of the Tao Te Ching, if you know that Taoist text. Why is this important? Because it illuminates, I think, the whole shape of real religious living, which is not that one has found God, but that one is looking for God. God is an intimation that beyond all the empirical reality which surrounds us, in which we are immersed, in which we use in our daily lives, that there's something more. Aquinas also uses a lovely phrase throughout his writings: that mysterious other whom we call God. You know, this is so important because, especially we in the Roman Church, I think we're brought up to believe that there are certain people in the church who knew exactly what God wanted, what God wants, and therefore who God is. You know, all through the seminary, we got this same, now I see, profoundly stupid and misleading line: this is the will of God, this is the will of God. The bell rings at 5:25 in the morning, that's the will of God. The bell rings at 9:30 at night, that's the will of God. You take the rule book, everything in that thing is the will of God. What's the problem with that? Well, first, if it's wrong, it's dead wrong, first of all. But it also miniaturizes God. And puts God in the hands of the bosses. You know? The bosses know no more about God than I do. And one of the problems of the boss in the church is precisely the illusion that they do know in detail what God wants, who God is, what God is like. Terribly misleading. And it short circuits the whole of religious life, which again, as Elizabeth Johnson said, is a quest for the living God. We journey toward God. That was, again, one of the great deliverances of the since-forgotten Second Vatican Council, forgotten in some quarters at least, that the church is a pilgrim church. We're on our way. And we don't know, in particular, what God is like or what God really wants. And there's an analogy in this, in the phenomenon of parenthood. Okay, I have my 3 sons. I know that I shouldn't put cyanide in their soup or let them play with sharp objects or fire. But that's fairly primitive. That's fairly primitive. Do I know those human beings? do not know what is apt for them. Only in the most crude and rough-hewn way can I say that I do know. And to the extent, again, and this is where the analogy is so helpful, to the extent that I think I really do know who they are and what they are to do with their lives, I've circumscribed them. I'm missing the central reality, which is the mystery of who they are. And this is not something new. I mean, that great line from Isaiah, truly you are a hidden God, O God of Israel. The first commandment, you shall not make images of me. There's nothing you can conceptualize or envision or imagine that will be adequate to me. And so this illumines the whole pattern of faith for our lives, I think, which is a leap into darkness, trusting ultimately that the darkness is benign, that the darkness is for me. That great prayer of Merton, I don't know where I'm going. I don't even know who I am. Why is that so important to prayer? Because he gets to that, as one writer put, that learned ignorance precisely in the process of looking for God. We're drawn more deeply into the darkness, which is what real religion is. You know, it is not all this certainty, this premature certainty, which easily degenerates into kind of religious smugness. Which is certainly abhorrent to God, who is always larger than anything I can come up with.